Regular meeting of the Tana County Planning Commission, Monday, May 16th, 2011. If you want to establish a quorum.
Okay.
Mr. Ashley.
Dave Stewart.
Here.
Rick Caudill, here. Randy Cummings.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Susan Martin.
Here.
Carl Pride. We do have a quorum.
Thank you. And if you want to do the explanation of meeting procedures, please.
The Tana County Planning Commission regular meeting is held for final approval on each Division III application presented at the previous Monday's public hearing and to hear new concept requests to be presented at next month's public hearing. Final votes will be heard first. Each project will be reviewed and decided upon by the commission. There are no sign-up sheets at this meeting, as no additional public comments are taken unless expressly requested by the chairman or the commission. If you do not accept the decision of this commission, you may appeal to the Board of Adjustment. Applications for the Board of Adjustment are available in the planning office. Concepts will be heard following the final votes. If you are presenting a concept at this meeting, your name or the name of your project will be called. At that time, please come forward and address the commission. Your proposal will be heard, and additional documentation may be requested for the public hearing next month. No public comment will be heard at this meeting, with the exception of the applicant or persons with information requested by the commission. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have review and action. We've got our minutes of April 2011. I think you all had those in your packets. If there are any questions or anything, anybody has anything on those, any changes? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Susan, and a second?
I will second that.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Minutes approved. Final votes. Underhill Heights. We have a representative here for Underhill Heights. Does any of the commission have any questions for Mr. Bronner? You want to step on up, Mr. Bronner? Step on up to the podium and this was. The history on this was, make sure I've got the right one. I granted a Division III permit authorizing the construction of 14 townhouse units, each with 2 car garages and walking trails. And the question today is, they're already permitted to do that, but the question today is to allow them to also have nightly rentals.
Option
available, which they didn't on that. They were asking for, of course, whole ownership with at least 30-day or more rental under our code.
Will somebody be living full-time on the premises, a caretaker of sorts?
Jason, you said there would be a management company, yes. Did you hear that?
Management company?
Yeah.
But will they be on premises all the time?
I'll delay that one for about 5 more minutes. He's a little late. I'm just...
Okay.
Maybe we need to postpone this part of the.
Yeah, we can wait. Let's just wait a minute on that because I think there might be a few more questions.
He will be here in 5.
Okay. And we'll move on to the Stables and Integrity Hills and come back to you.
Okay. Thank you.
I think there might be some questions on that. So if we would, do we have a representative here for Stable and Integrity Hills? Eddie?
Yes.
Okay. And, What we're dealing with here, as a reminder, is we're seeking approval to utilize the existing agricultural barn as a reception hall for the weddings, which would be held at the wedding chapel located on the adjacent lot 2 of Integrity Hills Estates, if everybody recalls that from last week. Okay. Any questions for Mr. Wolf? You guys are awful quiet tonight. We have a motion to approve. Do we have a second? Okay. Any discussion? Have a motion to approve is presented in a second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you. Yeah, that would be good. These are going to go quick. I have no idea why everybody's here. The brass lantern. The applicant, Sunday Ranch LLC, is requesting approval to replat lot 14 of the Johnny B. Jones subdivision, creating a six-lot subdivision. A Division 2 app permit was previously denied on October 18, 2010, for proposal in which the applicant was seeking approval of a six-lot subdivision with an increase to 12 units on the property. That's the history. The previous denial was based on the proposed increase in density. I think we have, if you all recall the changes, I don't know if you have the information of that, maybe to pull that up. If there's some questions.
I was going to bring that same thing up. It's my understanding, and I was going to make sure that I was looking at this correctly. It was my understanding that cabins.
Two are actually going to go into one.
Exactly.
We emailed you the drawing. There was.
I didn't receive it for whatever reason.
Okay. Well, we emailed it to you today, but okay. The changes were on the. Mr. Ashley, the request list was to label each one independently, and we did. That one, the two units that are real close together become one unit, and in there, and now the existing buildings on the west side would be platted as condominiums because of the way they set there per code to be able to plat. The residential lot along the road up at Brass Lantern Road, there would be one across the road, and then one on the south side of the road, and then you've got the existing house there, so there's exactly the same amount of units. When we get through with us combining that one, and then that one's a double unit that sits on the very northeast corner. So there will be no increase in density, everything will stay exactly the same in numbers.
But the occupancy will change, right?
I mean, what do you mean?
It'll be a lot more people in and out of there.
Not necessarily. It's a rental place and run that way. Could be less, just simple fact somebody buys them at whole ownership. They may use it twice a year and nobody else there.
What are we going to do with the sewer? Are we going to upgrade the sewer to
the
a sewer treatment
will
plant?
Be put in. There'll be a plant put in for the sewer.
It'll be a plant.
Uh-huh. And be approved by the sewer board and DNR. And the feeder lines will be put in to each unit. That's the only construction because they're already on the present well, and they have the right to be there. All that information was given to Bob, where they've got the 1442nd of the well.
Is that a recorded, the well document? Is that a recorded document?
That I don't know. Is it recorded, Tammy?
No.
It's just an agreement signed between all the owners for the association, because all the signatures show up on the page. I guess it could very well be recorded.
There was some information that I, and I would have actually spoken with you earlier about this, but it just came to light today. In talking with the sewer district, they are looking at this as an advanced type of septic system, since each house will have its own, from my understanding.
The engineer is designing a system that would take care of all of it in one place.
And in talking to the engineer, it was my understanding that this would be looked upon, since each individual house will have its own settling tank, that it was looked upon as an advanced septic mm-hmm. system that will have to be approved by the DNR also.
What it does, it traps the solids, the gray waters go into the plant.
Yes.
So they're presently being taxed for a third of the well. If you'd like to see that from the assessor's office, I mean, you know, tax collector there, that is, to show that they actually got a physical one-third ownership of the well.
So you're saying DNR wants to approve the well, I mean the septic system?
Yes, DNR has I've spoke with a representative from DNR today, and they will require approval. They said that they would have to do a geologic or a, you know, the soil study here on site, since they do look at this as an advanced treatment system. They said they normally wouldn't since it's an existing development, but since it's being further subdivided, they said that they would require approval of that.
And that's what they totally expect to be.
Do we need to wait making them voting on this until we get the report back from DNR?
No. In my opinion, normally we just look for compliance letters, and you can add that into your decision if you choose to do so.
Well, we had this up before. I don't see it's any more compatible now than it was the last time we turned it in.
How so, Ray, as far as last time it was for a proposed increase in density?
Well, if the condos work out, if no doubt it's going to be more density now. If they get any renters, they don't have any renters now. But if the condos work out, we're going to add people there.
We're not adding no buildings.
On those three lots, is that what you're...
The existing buildings on the west side, the only way the code will allow you to separate those is by the condominium, because we don't have any other tool in the code to be able to plat.
Maybe, but just I'm trying to see where Ray is coming from also. The other three lots, lot 2, lot 3, and lot 1, will be sold. Are they going to be on...
Can I see which ones you're looking at?
These, the pie-shaped ones up here at the top. Are
those
they going...
be strictly restricted to single-family dwellings.
Okay, are they going to be on the same sewer system as well?
They have to meet DNR codes.
They'd have to have a sewer system for it. Any of it to work because of this small amount of space that there is there. There's no way you can split them up and have a septic. So you're going to have a sewer if they're put in.
I believe this one time it was presented against turned it down because there was no sewer. The other time was because of density. And we've come back and met all of those requests. The only thing that we can't meet is your opinion of compatibility.
Well, Eddie, I'd feel more comfortable if the sewer was in.
You know, the code, we're here at the meeting to see if we can do the project. How would you like to be the developer, go out there and spend $100,000 on a treatment plant, and then come back in and be told no? You ask for the approval to do it, then you go in and do it because you have to have it in place to be able to plat any of it. You can't sell none of it until it's in place and approved by DNR and those letters are given to Boswell.
Well, to kind of turn that around, how would you like to be one of the homeowners and the whole hillside tore up for a sewer system and never put in
the county's
like
got the codes in place that are called the servants' permits and bonds that has to be required. It is required by the county to obtain prior to disturbing any earth, and that's to put everything back in case they did walk away. The codes are there to protect everything. It's just a matter of getting approval to do it. Because we've tried to listen to you and make it fit the best we can. That's what we've tried to do.
Any other questions?
Be no nightly rental, right?
No.
Whole ownership, everything.
Well, I've got a question about that, because I mean, it's a. it has been operated as a resort in the past.
That's correct.
And had and under, I mean, like an op, like a resort operates, there would be nightly rental, less than 30-day rental. Yeah. So I want to be clear.
My understanding is, and the owner's here, that if this is approved, everything will go to a whole ownership and the resort will decease in any business's nightly rentals. That's correct.
So one of the things that you're asking for is actually to, remove that possibility that they have now.
Once they plat it, it goes straight to home ownerships.
Okay.
And that means when the sewer system goes in and they get everything in order, everything will go to straight home ownerships once plat.
All right. Any other questions? I know somebody wants to make a motion. We need to move off center.
I'd like to table the decision.
Why?
Well, I'm not satisfied about the way it's been handled in the past and if it'll be handled properly in the future. And if we cannot require the DNR... Can we require the DNR's decision before it proceeds that it is a treatment plant, not just an advanced system? I mean, I know we can put that in our record.
Most of the time in our summary, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I know there's a lot of new folks here, so including me, I'm pinch hitting. So, generally, we require compliance letters, yes. And they have to comply with those, which is, I think, in the past when we've had issues with DNR, that's also what we've required is a compliance letter from DNR that they have complied, not that they've met it up front. I understand your concerns with the history, but I think we need to be consistent in what we do and what we require.
And I agree with you, but before we would have the ability to sign this plat in any way, we would for sure have to have these letters both from the sewer district and from the DNR as well.
I would like to ask a question of our planning administrator. Is there anything that hasn't been met that we require for them to be in compliance to be approved?
I feel like the only thing that I would really have would be prior to having the ability to sign off on this, we would for sure have to have the DNR approval showing that they were going to allow. Before we could sign the plat, we would for sure have to have that.
But that's the traditional, I mean.
But besides that, I don't know of anything else that would.
In other words, they've met all our requirements.
Yes.
I've got to make a motion to accept.
Got a motion to accept the proposal as presented.
I'll second.
We've got a second. Any discussion?
Can we put that contingent upon a positive compliance letter from the sewer district?
That's already there.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Anything else? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes.
Later.
All right. We're going to go back. Welcome. We're talking about Underhill Heights, and the applicant is not requesting to amend the original Division 3 permit in any way other than to request the ability to utilize Underhill Heights for nightly rental. Just want to clarify that that is the one change that you're asking for. And the question was?
If there was going to be property management people there
right.
24 hours a day.
With nightly rental, if nightly rental was there, yes, there would be 24-hour property management.
As long as there's whole ownership, you don't need it.
Right.
But the minute
it turns into nightly rental.
Right. Yes. If approval, yes.
Right. And I want to make sure, are you asking on the property or available?
I would think that
because we've had
a project that big, aren't we going, I mean, there's going to be problems. I guess if it was a...
No, I just want to make sure they know what you're asking so it's clear.
Full-time nightly rental.
Full-time nightly rental. There needs to be somebody there.
On property?
Yes.
Okay.
There's two units completed right now.
Correct.
And what you're asking for is not for you to do nightly rental, but for whomever, whichever is correct, buys the property, they would have the ability to do nightly rentals.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Also, I'd like to point out, too, that doing a little research this last week, it was said during our last gathering that this would be precedent-setting as far as mixed use. However, Emerald Point and Branson Canyon both have mixed use in them already.
Any other questions from the commission?
Just a question. Is there, because one of the problems we've had in the past was with coming and going, and when we've approved a couple, another vacation rental, we gave them a stipulation of not less than 5 nights or something. Would that be applicable here?
Well, in the past, we can set whatever we'd like on it, I suppose.
It would have to be written in a decision.
Right.
When they sold the property to somebody, then that stipulation would have to go in the sales agreement.
Well, one of the concerns was the traffic flow, mm-hmm. and I think that might alleviate that somewhat, a little bit, if it was, put in the decision that a minimum of a week rental.
What my guidelines I was going off was 3 nights, and that's pretty much that's the standard of what I've come to know. A minimum of 3 nights, so it's not literally a nightly rental; it's 3 or more nights. You find most people doing vacation, that's what they do, 3 to 7 nights.
Is that what we're doing on
Acacia Club? Is that the one you're talking about?
No, I don't think we have stipulation.
Yeah,
on that.
We did 5 nights.
Oh, okay.
The big problem was
we have to look at the decisions record.
We're not enforcing what we've already done. And now we're being asked to add more to the nightly rental. I think the commission is going to have to make up their mind where we're going to turn Taney County and residential areas into a motel, or are we going to keep it on a 30-day basis? And I'm not in favor of turning Taney County into a countywide motel on a nightly rental basis.
Anything else for Mr. Bronner or for the good of the order? In that case, I'd entertain a motion.
I would make a motion that that there is a physical presence anytime there's a nightly rental, in case there's that, and then a minimum of 5 nights like we did on.
So you're making a motion to approve as presented?
With those stipulations.
With the stipulations of a management company on site anytime there's
person,
nightly rentals?
Yeah.
Person?
Yeah. On site, 24 hours and... in case there's a problem, and then the minimum of 5 nights.
And a minimum of 5-night rental. Does everybody understand the motion?
I will second that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All right, then. All those in favor?
Aye.
I didn't hear you, Dave. Did you? Aye. Sorry. Opposed?
I'm opposed.
Okay.
I vote no.
Okay. Motion passes. Thank you.
I wasn't sure if you coughed or not. Sorry about that.
Okay, concepts. And I see we've got a big crowd tonight. Welcome. Glad to see that the public is interested in what we're doing over here, just like every week. I want to remind you that this is concept tonight, and we're not taking public comment tonight. So you're more than welcome, obviously, to be here anytime we're here and listen about what the concepts are. But tonight, we're listening. So I just wanted to remind everybody that that's what we're doing tonight. First one up on the docket is Simplicity Salon, LLC. Do we have a representative here for Simplicity? And you are?
I am Maggie Ann DeGola. Maggie Ann Willoughby has asked me just to come
up. Hi, Maggie Ann. So, what you want to do?
We would like to take existing residential property on Bee Creek.
Okay, so you want to take existing property on Bee Creek.
And apply, put a beauty salon in there. She's single, and she would have living quarters upstairs and have a salon downstairs.
Okay.
We would like to petition for that. We were told that we should petition to have it changed into commercial. Is that correct?
Now, my understanding in speaking with the applicant the last time was that she was going to look at this as a home occupation. Now, I'll be completely honest with you. When you look in the code book, it actually says that the book doesn't allow for uses such as beauty salons.
For a special use?
For a special use. But there have been some recent examples over the last few years that have been approved. And
well,
so I didn't know what the...
Well, if our code book says that we shouldn't do it that way, then, as I've said before, just because we've done it wrong before doesn't mean we continue to do it wrong. So then the right way to do this is to not go for a special use, but then to go for a commercial use. Okay, so that's you were informed correctly? Okay. Okay.
Our understanding that we had to have a letter generated for the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
We did, but we only have one signature return from one of the neighbors. We don't have any answer.
What did you request from them?
No.
Nothing that our office, no, nothing that your office requested.
No, there's just a letter that's sent out to the neighboring property owners prior to the public hearing that'll...
Okay, so some of the things, anybody have any questions for Maggie Ann as far as this goes? A couple of questions that I've got are one of the things that we've done in the past that you might need to be made aware of, especially when we've got a lot of residential around there, and there's residential on both sides of that, and they're relatively small lots. I live down that road, so I know which house it is. And you want to make sure that there's going to be either landscaping barriers,
yes,
on both sides, or fencing.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And how many clients at a time does she expect to have?
Well, there probably wouldn't be when you're doing hair. You might have one with hair color and a haircut in between, so you would probably have two backed up, maybe a third one coming in, but at the most three that might be backed up, one leaving and one.
Okay. What about the parking there? I'm trying to think when I go by.
They propose to put in a circle driveway, a half circle.
So they want it to back out into Bee Creek.
Back out into Bee Creek. Or someone would know where the location was, and they would be able to readily see it.
And this is an aerial photo of the site.
As it exists today?
Okay,
yeah, because That was actually my next question, was how are they going to deal with folks backing in and out of there? Because that's a pretty tough spot to back in and out of if they had to do that. So they So a circle drive or an issue like that wouldn't be a problem for them to put in. Is that what you're telling me? There's room to do that?
Somebody comes in and is inside, and if someone else comes in, another one comes in, there might be enough room for two cars.
Yeah. Do you know what the minimum parking would be for something like that? You can find that out for us so it
can
be ready for next meeting?
I can definitely find out. I believe, now I don't want to quote it for sure, I'll look it up, but I thought that it was one space per chair, I believe, but I'm not positive if that's okay. Correct.
Because that's what the guidelines they'd have to meet.
Plus employees?
No employees.
It's a one-person shop?
One-person shop.
Okay. Right. I think what we want to make sure we get is what our code minimum is, and if you feel like there needs to be something above and beyond that, we could address that.
Right.
And just, one thing you might be prepared is just to let us know what you think the maximum number of vehicles that could be parked there at a time. I think that might be the question that comes up next time.
There is an existing driveway with a carport.
Yeah.
Where the owner would be parked way out of the service area of the Alpha Settlers or any other time from that.
What's the hours of operation?
Right.
Hours of operation are 10 to 6, 4 to 5 days a week. 5 days at the most.
Like Tuesday through Saturday, something like that, probably.
Yes, 10 to 6, 4 to 5 days a week, possibly on the fifth day, sometimes just a half day or whatever, depending on our schedule.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything else before? Looks like we can move forward with this. So
okay.
We'll see you Monday, June 13th, I think is the right day, at 6 p.m.
And is there anything I need to bring besides?
We'll likely need a site plan that specifies the parking and the proposed buffering.
Buffering site plan for the parking.
I'll tell you what, Maggie Ann, can you get with the office at another time and maybe Bob he can get that for you and let you know what all you need.
Thank you.
Okay, it looks like next up on the agenda is Emery Creek replat. Well, hey, Eddie.
This is real simple.
They all are.
Just like we've done on several of them up there. Guy owns a lot. He wants to build two houses on it. There's sewer and water available. The frontage will be split even. They'll be over 70 foot. They're more like 100 foot in each lot. Each lot will have about an acre in it.
Okay. It seems like when we first did this and way back when, at one time we looked at splitting them all and then we decided that this was the way we wanted to handle it, how we're handling it now. Does that seem right?
When we done the development up there in Emery Creek, if you would go ahead and put it in there, that we wouldn't have to come back every time. And you did that at Shoals Bend and you said, nope, you're going to make you come back. So I'm here.
We must have felt honored that night.
That's right.
Okay,
that is
well.
It's real simple and nothing other than what we've done before. Just doing a replat of that lot into an A and a B lot.
Any questions for Mr. Wolf?
Is that every one of those?
Do one of
every one of those lots split?
One lot.
It's just one lot.
Just one lot.
Lot 110.
Yes, lot 110, and we've got that up on the.
That's what the plat would look like there with the two the lot being split.
Okay.
Because we've been bringing every one of these back. I think at one time we ran 8 or 10 of them together at one time, but this is just one lot. That's all we're asking for.
And Eddie is correct. There were a large number that came through at one time as a Division 3, and now this one's just a single lot.
Okay. Anything else? Well, we'll see you at the same time, June 13th. Thank you. And next, Branson Sports Entertainment Complex. We have a representative here for there, I'm guessing.
We do.
And who are we speaking to?
I am Robert Stockdale. I'm with I'm a design principal with Buxton Cubic Dodge Creative Architecture Firm in Springfield, Missouri. I have with me here Spencer Jones, who is principal with Great River Engineering. up in Springfield, and Tom Gammon, who is an owner's representative, actually leading the project team, who's here to answer and address any questions the group may have through the presentation. First of all, we appreciate you having us here this evening. We're excited about presenting the concept for a motorsports complex in Tane County. We are seeking, the property is currently, the use of the property is currently agriculture. We are seeking a zoning change basically to allow for motorsports and supporting related commercial development on the property. How do we choose that? She's going to do it. Next slide, please. Thanks, Bob. If you're not familiar with it, the property is approximately 800 acres. It is to the east of Highway 65, basically between 65 and the new Branson Airport, roughly aligning with 86 Highway coming in from the west, and that's the location of the property there. Next slide, please, Bob. This is not a blank slide. This is basically where we were February 1st of this year in terms of the project design and planning. During this early period, what we wanted to do is wanted to accomplish three things. First of all, we wanted to develop a program for the property, how the property would be developed in terms of what types of motorsport uses we would seek to attract and incorporate. Two, we needed to assemble the right design team in terms of putting the project together, the right expertise to put the project together. And third, we wanted to focus on creating a fan-friendly and family-focused venue. So all the decisions we've made up until this time have been focused around that. And lastly, we needed time to prepare documentation to present, have presentations and meetings with the local community leaders, leadership, as well as neighborhood groups to basically tell them what we're doing. It's a very large project, very large scope, very complicated, so it takes quite a bit of time to get the resources together to accomplish these things. Next slide, please, Bob. In terms of the project team, I grew up at a very large architecture firm in St. Louis, the largest firm in the country, and we worked on nothing but very large, very complex projects. And one of the things we learned there is that in order to do a great project, a great large project, we have to assemble a great team. The team is basically comprised of the owner and founder and visionary for the project, which is Russell Cook. Curtis Gray, he is the director of business development. Curtis was the president of Homestead Speedway south of Miami in Florida for about 9 years. He is on the project as our track design consultant. Tom Gammon, who worked, Tom and I go way back. Tom worked at Bass Pro Shops as vice president of construction for a number of years. Tom is back in southwest Missouri now. He grew up here. He's come back to lead the project efforts in terms of project development and construction. And then Craig Bradfield will be handling our marketing. Myself, I'm a principal, as I mentioned, at Buxton Cubic Dodd Creative in Springfield. Working with me is Bob Carlson. He's an architect, very experienced architect in racetrack design. He works for DLR out of Kansas City. Most notably, Bob's work is the Kansas Speedway that many of you might be familiar with up in Wyandotte County, Kansas. Spencer Jones, as I mentioned, he's a principal with Great River Associates here in Springfield, up in Springfield, excuse me. And working with Spencer is representatives from HNTB, Chris Ailes. Chris is, if you look at any modern racetrack here in the United States, Chris, by and large, Chris is responsible for the pavement and design of the pavement design, geometry of the track, and so forth. So Chris has extensive experience in racetrack design throughout the United States. Next slide, please, Bob. As I mentioned, during the first few months of the project development, we've focused on the project program. Again, fan-friendly, families-focused environment. We've talked to a number of motorsports sanctioning events, sanctioning bodies, as well as motorsports promoters who are interested in coming here to determine what kind of facility we need to develop on this property. One thing we've focused in on, we've looked at a number of track geometries, a number of track sizes. We've narrowed it down to a 3/4 mile asphalt track, which will be designed to standards to facilitate all types of racing events. Initially, we're proposing to build a stadium for approximately 65,000 seats with expansion to 80 or upwards of 100,000 fans, which would include luxury suites, hospitality village, media center, and the other items that we've listed here. Next slide, please.
I've got a question real quick, yes, on that. That said, can you go back to that one? Sorry. That's okay. Is it an 800-acre site or a 1,400-acre site?
The application is for the rezoning or reuse of the new uses to the existing 800 acres.
Okay.
The current 800 acres.
Okay.
There are other plans.
Okay, I just saw that discrepancy. I was just curious.
Yeah, it's our intent to come back to this board at a later date to facilitate
the
uses on the parts of property. Yes. Next slide, Bob. Thank you. This is a preliminary sketch basically showing a three-quarter asphalt track. It's a tri-oval. This is the pit row here. There'll be enough space on the infield for two racing paddocks for professional drivers and their supporting vehicles. We'll also allow fans access to that infield under special ticketing so that the fans can really get close to the action in terms of the racing. This represents initial seating for 65,000 seats. Some luxury suites will be available for lease to various entities in the community. Beneath the grandstands is a concession area for restrooms, beverages, and food sales and souvenirs and so forth. And then outside the facility is about a 300-foot wide area, which is basically a midway concourse where corporate entities can offer have displays and sell wares, as well as race teams can sell souvenirs and so forth. And then parking areas will surround that. There will be a TV broadcast area for basically covering major events, as well as a hospitality village for hosting parties and things for the fans that come to the racetrack. Next slide, please. This is from that initial sketch. This just for everybody's benefit. This basically shows 65,000 seats. As I said, it's a quite large facility. It's very large, very complicated. It'll have basically this is the concourse level. You'll have about 32 rows of seating down to the racetrack crash wall, approximately 32 to 35 rows of seating going up from that midway concourse, and then luxury boxes as well as press boxes on top. I said luxury boxes, suites and press boxes on top for more private and corporate viewing. Next slide, please. I think I mentioned earlier we were part of this initial phase was to determine what kind of racing events, what kind of motorsports events we could host on this property. One of the main goals of the facility was to keep the facility vibrant and open 200 to 250 days a year. If you're familiar with many racetrack venues, they'll see two or three prime weekends a year, and the rest of the year they're fairly dormant. It is our goal to develop a property that attracts visitors as well as racing events for about 200 days to 250 days a year. Those event mix includes what you see here. Stock car racing is the prime use of the three-quarter mile track. There will also be potentially open-wheel racing, which is Formula One type cars.
IndyCars.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Not Formula One.
I'm kind of a newbie to the business. Perhaps a dirt track, a motocross facility, anything that might involve motorcycle jumping, off-road racing, jeep trails, truck trails, that sort of thing, and all the way down the list. Also, I want to point out that one of the other things we want to have the facility actively available for community events such as concerts and car shows and club events, that so not only professional drivers and professional race teams can be involved, but also more amateur and club-level activities could occur all the way down to family events and things such as perhaps hosting, you know, the Branson Air Show and things like that. We think the facility could be a multi-use function available for a number of uses, all focused around a motorsport venue.
When we talk about 200...
If you would, go ahead and step on up here and state your name, if you would, for me.
My name is Tom Gammon, and I'm Director of Development for the project. When we talk about 200, 250 days of operation, that's not 60,000 people or 80,000 people out there every day. There will be a few weekends a year that we would expect to have that type of crowd. But by and large, the bulk of the time, you're going to have smaller venues. It might be 2,000. It might be 200. We could have vehicle testing on the track. We could have a car club out there that wants to run their cars on the track that might be 50 members. That's the type of use we have. We want to be real clear. We are not NASCAR. We're an independent track, an independent facility. We hope to attract the major sanctioning bodies to come and race here. And we have a long ways to go to get those approvals. But, you know, everyone says this is a NASCAR track. This is a racetrack, not a NASCAR track. So our business performa is based on multiple uses, and it could be a car club event, it could be go-kart racing, it could be a motocross, it could be, you know, the supercross where they bring in the guys that do all the backflips and that stuff on motorcycles. All of those types of events are possible here, not just the big name stock car racing.
Thank you.
This is the highlighted in green is the 800 contiguous acres that we mentioned. The 1,400 acres that you made mention of would incorporate this other area here, but at this point in time, we're not talking about that. But this identifies potential future development phases that may occur at a later date. There's a lot of things that we are looking at that have to be financially feasible as we move forward before we can actually, develop it any further than currently shown. This shows the 3/4 mile track. One of the things I want to make note of is that the design of the track, in terms of three dimension, where it's located in three dimension, the track surface itself is approximately 100 feet below the main runway of Branson Airport and some of the neighboring residential areas. We're placing the track inside of a bowl to help with the acoustics or the sound generation of the track by placing it in the bowl with lots of vegetation around it. That's going to help mitigate some of those issues. We believe the track to be acoustically compatible with the airport and in some respects Highway 65 as well. And again, we're placing it in that bowl to help facilitate that. We're also showing the potential for a 2 or 2.25 mile road course. And again, we're beginning to diagram the types of venues and activities that will occur on the site. We've got a ways to go, as Tom mentioned, but we're beginning to just basically place placeholders on the property to see what we can develop. One thing, I guess, I'll let Spencer, go ahead, Bob. I'm going to let Spencer speak to some of the traffic and infrastructure improvements that are anticipated as part of the project.
Thank you. My name is Spencer Jones with Great River Associates. We are the lead civil engineering firm on the project that would be involved with the infrastructure such as utilities and traffic and transportation components. I'm going to talk more specifically about that. We're currently working with the Missouri Department of Transportation to address some of those infrastructure needs. If we think back to the construction of Highway 65 from Hollister to Arkansas and four-laning those improvements, as a part of that original plan, there was an interchange proposed at 265, Highway 86, and then an overpass near the Arkansas line. But due to funding limitations, those improvements were not included in that original construction phase, as well as outer road improvements along with those improvements. So what we're trying to do is partner with the Missouri Department of Transportation to accelerate the construction of those projects because they were previously identified by them, but also to help us to address our traffic needs for this particular project. Because the one thing that we recognize is the first thing that the visitors to the facility are going to deal with is traffic coming in, and the last thing is traffic going out. And we want to minimize the impact of being able to get those people back onto the highway and to their destinations, as well as how it affects the local transportation systems, too. Another portion of the transportation project that we're looking at is improved access to the Branson Airport. And currently, they're served through the Branson Creek subdivision or development. And what we would propose to do is provide a more direct connection from Highway 86 to the airport, reducing the amount of miles that someone would have to travel to the airport, as well as providing a more convenient and safer access. One thing that we experienced this year is that there was a mudslide that occurred near Highway 65 that nearly blocked that Branson Creek Boulevard, eliminating access to the airport. So having another means of ingress and egress out of the airport would be beneficial for their operation as well. So again, we are currently just in the phases of having those conversations with MoDOT to develop that partnership and how that will allow us to accelerate those public improvements.
What do you believe is the minimum that you all need to do to handle 80,000 people in and out of there? Is that the minimum, what you've got drawn there? Because one entrance at 86 is not going to do it.
Yeah, no. We believe that we're...
No, I know. I see all the drawings, but I'm curious as to what your minimum is.
No, our current conversations with MoDOT, when we look at traffic counts, you know, we may have 65,000 people. We anticipate 2.5 people per vehicle, which puts us around 26,000 vehicles coming into the facility. We want to be able to move about 25,000 to or 2,500 vehicles every 15 minutes out of the facility or into the facility. We're looking at a window of about an hour and a half to 2 hours that everybody's left the facility. We get past that peak and everybody's on their way. We understand that would be within the acceptable level of what they would deem to be appropriate for this type of facility. But going back to your question, the minimums would be improvements at 265 and improvements at 86 and an outer road that provides that connection to help move those people through, as well as the connection over to Branson Creek Boulevard.
As well as?
Yes.
So I just want to make sure I heard you right. The minimum would be the improvement at 86 and the improvement at 265 with an outer road, looks like, on the east side,
correct.
And that connection to the Branson Airport.
Correct.
Okay.
I think there's another important point on traffic, and we're in conversations with MoDOT. We talked to the Tannehill County Sheriff. We are getting ready to talk to the Highway Patrol in the city of Branson, and our intent is to add a public safety building on the property that would, during large events, act as a command center where we would have a regional transportation management pod and a law enforcement traffic management pod. So by linking electronically with cameras through all the intersections along interchanges along 65, traffic flow can be managed both by MoDOT highway engineers, the traffic management engineers, and the highway patrol or the city or the Taney County, whichever entity would happen to be in charge law enforcement-wise on that weekend. We have not talked to the city of Branson, although we will be contacting Branson shortly. We sat down and had a long meeting with MoDOT on this issue last week, and as the plan develops, then we'll bring other people into it. But MoDOT's the key piece to be able to do a transportation management center, very similar to the TMC they just put in spring, smaller scale.
So do you feel like that's something that MoDOT, the stuff that you mentioned and the things that you just mentioned, that they're going to require of you? In other words, under our code, if we have letters of compliance and it's put in there, the requirements that MoDOT requires, because I'm not that expert. They are, and
they're in complete agreement with us right now that the improvements need to be made to handle the traffic. We're not we don't see any more interchanges necessary than what's on the paper. The outer road system is essentially a moving parking lot system, so that at the peak demands that you can move people out and flow them onto 65 at different points. Where they're not all trying to, you're not bottlenecking, you're not trying to flow 2,500 cars through a single access point. So you spread the traffic out, you move it along a larger section, and you monitor that through traffic monitoring devices such as in-road traffic counters and cameras, so you can adjust flow and move people to different intersections. You can move people out across 86, you can move people across the dam towards Indian Point and Branson West. You can bring people up into Branson and even schedule where they enter into the Branson area off of 65. We could, that level of sophistication through traffic management is what our goal is.
I'd like to bring up another point. One thing that's done too is on inflow and outflow, we'll have four lanes of traffic, three that would be coming in, one that would allow access out of those facilities or in the opposite direction. So that's how we would deal with the entries. Then on the exit maneuvers, we would have more lanes going out and one dedicated lane to allow access for people that would be going the other direction. So we're able to reverse some of those lanes to allow us to maximize the capacity of those, being able to deal with that traffic movement. And that's done tactically in coordination with the Missouri Highway Patrol and the Sheriff's Office as far as traffic management. And that would be coordinated with them.
I think one of our goals, too, is to, even on the on the peak weekends to allow the neighbors along Fruit Farm Road and those areas that they can move freely in and out of the area, with probably the single exception when everybody's leaving the racetrack. It's probably going to be hard to get out. It'd be easy to get back into your house. It'd be kind of hard to get back out.
In your conversations with MoDOT, did they talk about the how much percentage they were going to pay for all this improvement?
We're in those negotiations.
They're not going to pay much, probably.
Yeah, we're in those conversations.
Other questions about?
We got to have the interchanges before they have a racetrack.
Well, and that's part of that will be between them and MoDOT.
Give me a rough estimate of the projected time frame for completion or getting operational on this.
We'd like to be in operation in the spring of 2013. First event.
Any other questions on the traffic stuff before? I know that's a pretty big one. Okay, continue. Thank you.
One other point, you know, another thing that we're dealing with that would be another issue is water and sewer. And maybe to cover those, we're meeting with the Taney County Regional Sewer District tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 to talk about the project and coordinate our dealing with our wastewater improvements. We will be evaluating both an on-site wastewater treatment system, but our preference would be to be connect to public sewer with in conjunction with the Taney County Regional Sewer District and the City of Hollister's wastewater treatment plant. But those are discussions that we'll be having with them and as soon as tomorrow. And from a water perspective, we will be looking at water system being on site. We expect that we'll drill multiple wells rather than one large well. We'll drill multiple small wells to help us deal with our water usage needs. We'll have elevated storage, which will help us deal with our demands on property, deal with fire protection issues, and you know, possibly working with some of our neighbors that may have issues with their current systems. We may have an opportunity to work together with them. We think it's important to recognize the impacts that we're having to the neighbors and try to provide some benefits where we can. And that may be, in some cases, fire protection.
Okay.
So that's how we would address those utility issues. One thing, too, I maybe want to clear up for the record that I'm sure we've all heard of is that, you know, grading operations started on the project fairly early, and we moved through the process. We obtained a land grading permit from Taney County. We also obtained a DNR land disturbance permit. Through these historic rains that we've had over the last month, we have had no notice of violations. We've met our discharge limits. We've checked in with the Taney County Planning and Zoning Office if there's been any complaints filed, and we have a system that appears to meet or exceed our discharge requirements.
Okay. Is this the last slide, or is there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess there's a closing slide, but I mean, basically, what we think is this project is a very significant project to Taney County, as well as the state of Missouri and the regional area. And we believe that this can be the backbone for a growth opportunity for the area with not only our facility but the surrounding areas. As these infrastructure improvements get made, it's going to provide the opportunity for more development to occur, providing more job opportunities and hopefully more year-round jobs that go with those facilities as well. So we think this can be a springboard to a lot of great things for Taney County and the area.
I think one thing that's important to add is that if you take the economic development data from what we're spending on the track and the infrastructure, it equates out to generating about 2,600 jobs with just on the first phase here in southwest Missouri. And that's not just it's construction jobs and the spinoff jobs that are created by the number of construction jobs. We're not going to have 2,600 construction workers out there, but we're going to have several construction workers, several contractors. The cement plants are going to be busy. The asphalt plants are going to be busy. The lumber yards are going to be busy. you know, the restaurants that would have to have housing for a lot of these contractors coming in here to work. We see a pretty significant economic impact just from the construction phase, and we believe the catalyst for further development and additional jobs as the development matures and fills in. If you look at the Kansas Speedway, there's quite a bit of development occurred up there after the Speedway was built. We think a similar pattern will be created here with additional development in the area that's not necessarily our development. So we see it as a great economic engine for Taney County. We really are a family-focused, fan-friendly facility. We don't want any gambling. We don't want anything like that. We're going to do extra to attract families to the track, where we have family zones for seating. We have entertainment for kids. I don't know if you're ever taking a kid to a 4-hour-long race, but I've taken my grandkids, and they get a little bored. So you get them up, take them out, let them, you know, bounce and jump and do things that burn energy off, and they have a good time, and when they have a good time for the racetrack, they want to come back, and that's what we want. We want people to come and enjoy the track, be able to bring your family, bring your children, and not be in an environment that you wouldn't want your kids in, just a wholesome family experience. And apparently somebody
and, the kids are complaining already.
Yeah, I'm talking to them. You know, that's the vision for the facility. We're gonna have wider decks in the seating where you can get up and go to the restroom, or you can get up and take your child out to go to the snack bar, and everybody in the row doesn't have to get up. Our row length is going to be controlled so that 25 people don't have to get up, so you can get out. The seat width, I'm a big guy, so we're going to have a little bit wider seats so that seating is more comfortable. We're looking at a top-notch, first-class racing facility. Our team that we've put together, we absolutely have the best. Bob spoke about DLR. DLR did the design for the new infield at Daytona, and they were on the team for the site selection for Kansas Motor Speedway. I've known Bob Carlson for some years, and if NASCAR wants to design a track or International Speedway Corporation, that's who they call. If you watch NASCAR at all and you see where they have a problem at a track, like a hole developed, Chris Eales is the engineer that gets the call. So the track surfaces and the track design and the track geometry, we have the top team put together to do this facility. Our local architects and engineers are well-versed in the area and are top professionals. So the overall project is guided by local architects that understand the community, they understand the needs of the community, and then in the specific technical areas, we have the right people to design those technical aspects. So we're pretty proud of the team, we're really proud of the development, and we're very excited to be here in Taney County. Russ and I met in 1986 at Big Cedar Lodge. Both of us have worked together quite a bit in the past, and it's great to be back down here in Taney County looking at a major project. I spent 3 years up on Highway 76 back in the 90s, and so it would be great to be back down here and be part of the community.
Okay. Just, there might be some questions from the commission, I don't know, to get ready for concept. Anything else? I know there's going to be a lot of questions next week or next month. Anybody?
You've got a ground disturbance permit. How much property does that cover? How big is that? How much have you got it for? How many acres?
I believe that permit's for 75 acres.
How much are you working on out there?
We have not measured it up.
And I think that is correct. I think it is for the 75 acres, and so.
But we don't know how much we're working on?
I think we're right at 75, but we're not beyond that.
And I'll get to this. One of the questions that we're going to have, I'll come back to that in a minute. One of the questions that I know we're going to have is going to be a big concern for us and for a lot of folks is going to be the noise issue. And I know you mentioned that a little bit, but in another project that we had in here a few years ago, that was a big issue for us, and we tried to tackle it because there's not a noise ordinance unless it's changed, and I'm not aware of it in Taney County. There's not a noise ordinance. But it is a concern that it's a reasonable amount of noise that comes from a project like this for the neighbors and for everybody around. And I'm certain that's going to come up a lot next month. I know it's a concern for us here. So anything you can do to address that, not tonight, this is a concept hearing, but to address how you're going to handle that, what those levels are going to be, and how far out. I think those are concerns that we're all going to have. Am I right in stating that? Okay. So that's something that I don't know what you've got prepared for that, but that would be nice if you could certainly come prepared with as much information as possible about that.
Well, it's pretty specific information.
And what I'm really looking for is the loudest. I don't know the difference between which one of these is which as far as louder, but the loudest. That's the one that I'm interested in.
One thing I wanted to clarify a little bit, too, in our past conversations, of course, we've got a large number of people that are interested in this. Are we still shooting for potentially a July date for the public hearing date?
I think that makes more sense, and let me go into why.
Okay.
This is a really large, complex project, and we've got several things that we've been moving along and in fact, we probably would have postponed this if it wasn't for some pressure for us to come here tonight.
Glad to see you. Tired of reading about you in the paper. But we'll get to that in a minute.
Us in the paper, okay. When we're not part of the article or seeing us on television. And so we're starting the process tonight. We have been doing some community meetings. We've met with community leaders, political leaders, and a few business leaders. We have additional meetings planned with business leaders in the community. We have meetings with neighbors, and I'm sure there's a bunch of guys here that we intend to sit down and meet with all the neighbors, and we'll go through the issues and project in detail.
Okay.
Before we come back here for the public hearing.
But that is important. Normally it's the very next month, but I just want to make sure we're clear because a lot of folks are going to want to know that in here. And I,
exactly.
You know, how do we get notice out to folks, by the way? Go ahead and mention that.
Yeah, we will still have the same.
600 feet.
Exactly. Everyone that's within 600 feet will receive a notice. There'll also be a notice placed in the paper as well.
It's posted on the property.
It's also posted, yes, on the property.
From what I didn't know this till just now, but it looks you're not going to be coming back for public hearing in June.
I don't think it's to your benefit or to our benefit.
No, that's quick. That's okay. It's just you have 90 days?
120
yeah, days.
Got
so
120 days.
I think we'll be ready in July. We have to finish negotiations with MoDOT. We've got work to do with the Taney County, Western Taney County Fire Protection District. We've got some meetings with the ambulance district we have to do.
Okay.
On and on and on. There's.
It won't be June. That's really what I'm after right now.
June.
Okay. Right. Is there a way, and I hate to put you on the spot here, I know you're new too, but is there a way to not only do that, but maybe post it on Taney County's website when that date's going to be? There are a lot of folks that are concerned, and I'm sure they want to be able to check and not miss out. And we would like to make it as easy as possible for them to check to make sure on the date, and also make it easier on everybody here. You know, we don't want folks driving in. We want you here. You're welcome to come at every meeting if you want. But
I don't think that
so
would
we
be
could post
a
that
problem
date
at all. Yeah, definitely.
Or the agenda.
Definitely.
And then they could check taneycounty.org, I believe. Is that
yes.
Right? And go to find us from there on planning and zoning and get that. So we can commit to doing that and help that. That'll help you all out a little bit and hopefully help a bunch of folks out here so they're here when they want to be here so we can hear what they've got to say. You can hear what they've got to say.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's looking like July, which that meeting would be Monday, July the 11th. Make sure there wasn't any holiday.
Holidays
okay.
in there.
Like Ides of March, I don't know, whatever.
Exactly. We're off
for. So,
yeah, oh, it is? Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, so right now, Monday, July the 11th is what we're looking at for the public hearing. I've got one more comment. It's going to sound negative, but it's not meant to be. I just feel like I need to say it. And first of all, I appreciate you all joining the team and presenting this so we all can understand what's going on instead of finally hearing about it in person, instead of seeing everything that's going on and not exactly understanding what's going on, whether you all were commenting yourself or how the stories were getting written, that's how we were reading them here, and we read lots of things. And some of them, I only speak for myself, so I'm just speaking for myself here, but some of them didn't appreciate too much on how they were going, but you're glad you're here, and I want you to know that won't make a difference on our decision, on my decision. I want to make that, you know, we want to listen to the facts, see if it's the right thing for Taney County. But on the other hand, this is the part that's going to sound negative, but I don't mean it that way. You all are also taking a great risk, and I know you understand. I just want to make sure everybody understands this. This is not a rubber stamp deal at this point. We need to understand what's going on to make sure it's the right thing for Taney County from not only an economic standpoint, but from an environmental and everything that we look at as a commission to do this. And just because all this work has already been done and all this money has already been spent, that doesn't mean we're automatically going to say yes. And I just want everybody, including you all, to understand that right up front. That's not a yes. It's not a no, but it's not a yes. And so I don't want that to be misconstrued in any way, that all this work's been done, that we've already said, oh, yeah, go ahead and come on in, and we'll just mark it off and go. Maybe it'll be approved, and maybe it will not. And that you are the ones taking that risk.
We fully understand the risk. And, you know, if we build the racetrack, we still have about 9 million yards of material to move to get there. The head start we have can easily be turned into pasture, and we have the black dirt stored, and that's what we have to do. But some of the nicest pasture land in Taney County.
I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that this was not a come on in and we'll get it taken care of now after you've already done the work. That is not the case. We want to listen to the project and make sure it's right.
To this point, we've broken no law. We've not violated anything. We're completely within the rights on the ground to do what we're doing. When the papers, the stories came out about DNR, we had no violations. There were no citations, not even any warnings of citations issued. We've done everything as correctly as it could be done. And there's not been any damage other than the grade changes that are going on inside.
Okay. I thought that might come out negative. I didn't want it to. I just wanted to make sure that was said.
We're not taking it that way.
Okay.
And we fully understand the process.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission?
Could you come up with an elevation map, and bring that to the next meeting so
we
can tell how it goes?
We will bring a lot more information
right.
to the next hearing. As Bob stated, February 1, the blank page. So we have a lot of drawings that we're working on, so you'll see a lot more information at that point. And we'll go down through specifically what's been accomplished so far as putting the deal together, the development together, and how we interact with the community and the things we're doing to improve the community out there as well as the overall benefit to take care.
Okay. Well, we'll see you on July the 11th, that Monday. And I would encourage everybody to check our website and make sure that's the date if you have some issues and need, because you do have 120 days. So if that would change, it could change. So check that and make sure that might save a whole bunch of phone calls. So, okay? Thank you.
All right, thank you.
We've got some other things to discuss for the crowd. You're welcome to stay if you'd like, but if you want to get up, now would be a good time. Thanks for coming. I wouldn't stay if I didn't have to, Eddie. We do have other business, though, so we do need you to take it outside. Take the party outside.
Yeah, that's true. Bob, could you get us an elevation map?
Oh, yes.
Of that whole?
Yes.
one, because it's going to echo right up there.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
One of the things I was going to do as well is, even though our GIS aerial photos are a few years older, they've got pretty recent aerials on Google Earth, and so I was actually going to do a
recording. Yeah, let's take about a 3-minute recess to go ahead and let the room clear out. Thank you.